So Peter's going to talk about improving that scenario and fixing the CLI script and testing that those cases.
Behavior of the developer fix.
Aha, good. Good, thank you.
Thank you. Before I start, also, I'd like to thank two former colleagues of mine at Vision, where I worked a couple of years ago. And this talk is inspired by Dimitri, and it's for Andre. So, and maybe for some other people also here. Okay, so you all know the 80-20 rule, right? That's the Pareto principle. And I mean, if you don't happen to know, it's a very popular rule. It basically says that with 20% of the input, you get 80% of your desired output. And also on the flip side of the coin, if you happen to have only 20% of where you want, what you want to achieve, what is missing, you need to invest 80% of your energy. And that's very popular in consulting and in project management. What do you think? Does it work in software development? Does it? Of course it does. Your product owner mentions it every day, or at least every week at the backlog refinement, doesn't he? Doesn't she? Yeah, so, but for us software developers, does it work? Can we write just 20% of the code and are fine with 80% of the feature working? Or if we talk about test code, is it fine? We just do 20% test coverage, and then it will just do for 80% of the bugs. Should be okay, right? Think about it. What do you think? This talk is about Python CLI applications and writing tests. And I'm going to walk you through this topic because I want you to write tests, right? And my name is Peter Bittner. I'm a developer of people, companies, and code. I run panel software and a few open source projects, free software projects, really. And a few of them are listed here on the slide. And for my day job, I get paid by a large a telecom company that powers the internet in most part of Switzerland and make sure that your phones run stable, and I do that as a developer in the role of a DevOps engineer. Yeah, and I love to delight people with working software. That's what I do. Yeah, and I'm here with this talk to talk to you that you are maybe a person that feels a bit like that. Feels a bit like Andre. And I'm here to give you one less reason to say that automated tests are cool and we should do testing, fully agree, but it doesn't work for me. It's not for my use case because I need to move fast, okay? And think of that when we move fast. I mean, scripting is a lot of hacking things together quickly. And what is the penalty of this? Don't you sometimes feel that you're paying the price for that? And there is someone who I think knows that very well, and probably you know him, Uncle Bob. It's Robert C. Martin. And he's someone who knows that well, the problem, and talks about it. He's one of the founders of the Agile Manifesto. And let's listen to what he says.
Tell your friends in technology that the only way to go fast is to go well.
Okay. The only way to go fast is to go well. So if you want to go fast, write tests. You're my friends in technology. So I'll tell you, please do what Uncle Bob says. All right. So here's what we are going to look at. So CLI applications. Well, I'll quickly give a quick intro into what's wrong with scripts, what I think what's wrong with scripts. I give a quick coding example, and I try to do a bit of refactoring to make the code nice and maybe better working, and we find out whether this already solves the problems. But it's mostly for you, everyone here, to warm up and to get some ideas and get inspired. And then afterwards, I show you why I think it's a good idea to create CLI applications, and what the challenges there are when you start writing tests. Obviously, I have written a piece of software, an open source project that helps with writing tests, because there are some of those challenges that I'm going to mention later. And I'm going to give a coding example and try to do some actual TDD showcase if the time is sufficient. Great. Questions? Please interrupt me if you. I'm sure I need to rush. But if you want this to be interactive, I want this to be interactive. I'm happy if you interrupt me. Great. So what's wrong with scripts? In short, a lot. You probably know that just as well as I do. The good thing is of writing scripts, it's easy to get started, right? Python is such a great language, and it's probably one of those reasons why it's so popular. Apart from, especially in the non-software development world, data modeling, all that. That I know too little of, I'm sorry. And you just open a file, a text file, rename it to .py, and you start writing Python code. And that's it. Write a few lines. It's as easy to get started as with Bash scripts. In the long run, it's better than Bash. But you know how features are. They start growing, and a feature never stays as small as it starts out with. So it's growing and growing. Then you start adding classes, and then you maybe if it's so long, then you start trying to move things out into separate modules and so on. But the problem is really there are limited possibilities for structure. When you write scripts, you have much more possibilities later. We look into that, and of course that all pays into the problem that it's harder to do unit testing, harder to do testing at all. You usually have in a typical script, what I've seen is you have hard coded paths there and so on. You can avoid this when you are careful, but it's still hard to do testing. Especially unit testing and so mocking and stuff. And then because it's not a package, it's just a script, it's just a file, like a bash script. You have no dependency management. You have dependencies for good libraries in Python. And also when you split this up, a deployment, maybe it's not, you don't see this as a big problem, but you have to take a little bit of care when you deploy a split up script and so on, yeah. And in the end, the user interface, if you have one, if you have some interactivity, it's a custom one. It's not based on an IEEE standard. And maybe not a problem for you, but maybe for your users. Great. And that's all reasons why they are hard to test. And I mentioned that already, right? Good. Then let's jump to the coding example. I think I can do without switching. Because then we can try to avoid the pain here. I just need to make sure I get the. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, cool. Great. Okay. So I'm here at a. Let's just do. I've got a. What is this? Tree script example. I've prepared a script example here, and what I'm going to do is make that a little bit fun. I'm going to do some things, try to refactor it. So let me just open this up in my editor, Codium. You should use that one and not code, because it's the actual free software. So yeah, I need to make this maybe it's too big. Sorry. A bit too big, right? Okay, is that good? Or is that too small? That's good. Okay, so I have this workflow script. I've already started to move some things to some modules out there. So helper modules, basically. You can see that there is much more here. There's a lot. Here's tickets handling or so. I probably handle tickets and access an API or something. I have some hard-coded paths here. Here is the helper. You probably see that these are not relative imports and so on. Let's just try to find out whether this actually works. Python and script example workflow. Yeah. Okay, that's the custom user interface. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, we can do better. Maybe add something here if we can. Try to, well, I'm a bit short on time, and the good thing is I can just check things out that I have prepared. Oh, no, see, GT. So git checkout usage. So now, come on. Yeah, git checkout. That's when you screw things up and then you need to correct them. Okay, so I have added this thing here. So that's my user interface. Then when I run the script again. Okay, I get a usage. If I do a help, okay, I still get the custom user experience, not so nice. I can, of course, change this. And and len sysargv okay equals 2. And you know, that's how scripts look like, huh? What is this? Sysargv. And what was the index? I think 1 equals minus help. And and I try it out. Ooh, nope. What's wrong? Did I have a bug? Oh yeah, that's never gonna be a thing. See the bug. I don't have tests, so I couldn't verify this. Cool. That works. Unfortunately. Let's check if the minus H. No, that's still okay. I need to do some more other stuff. But okay, that's basically fine. I still I think I want to move the ticketing to some ticketing library. And yeah. Okay, and I add a new file here. Okay, ticketing. Okay, now you get the idea. I do this again with git checkout. I have prepared this so I can. So let's try the completely refactored, because that will otherwise take too much time. So yeah, I moved all the stuff, some stuff, the Kubernetes stuff to some here. And the logging is here. Yes, not much. The ticketing is all here. And I have imported that here. All that stuff. Yeah. And okay. So one problem is still there. What is it? So to be able to test the thing, I you know what happens when I run this? What happens when I import this? So let's try to import this Python, and I say, oh no, wait a minute. C cd script example python import workflow. Okay, what happened? Oh god. You know, because when I run tests, you know what happens? I think PyTest imports, or a unit test framework imports the module. So you need to avoid that. And you know how to avoid this? You have to do some extra programming, of course. You need to move this down here. And yeah, I must be before the logger. And maybe or not. Yeah, let's put it down here. And of course, let's get rid of this stupid thing. Comment, nobody needs it anyway. The code says it all. And yeah, and I do if name equals main. Ever wondered what this construct is all about? It's about making a module be able to be imported. Okay, so now you can do import workflow. All good, no code is executed. That's important, yeah, for doing testing. Okay, do I have something else? Oh yeah, now we have still a problem here. What is the problem? The helper, okay? Doesn't look like a problem. It's not a relative import, so let's try, for example, if I do, I install a library, pip env install helper. You know, there's a library that is called helper on PyPI. Project helper raid. So yeah, we are going to install that, right? Maybe useful. Maybe we need that. So we install it. And we go to pip env shell. And then we run the script again. So it's Python workflow. Workflow py. Okay. What does it say? Yeah. Stupid me. That's the bug that is between a monitor and the seat that is not there. Yeah. Okay. All right. But why doesn't it work? Yeah. But it worked before. So when I exit that virtual environment and then I run it, and now I'm here. Anyway, so workflow. That still works. That's weird. And the problem is, really, you figured it out, that the installed, it's on a Python path earlier, the installed packages, and they take precedence. Yeah, so you could override that, but yeah, you would hack into the mechanism of Python. So we don't want that. So how do we solve that? We create a package and do relative imports, for example. Okay? So let's go back to the talk. All right. So, yeah, I think any questions on that? Yeah. Good. So, why do you want CLI applications? I mean, the coding exercise was fun. Yeah, maybe you want the standardized user experience. There is, this was not IEEE standard 1003.1 on like on Unix systems where the tools should have a standardized user interface, which looks a little bit like that, like what the usage says. It's foo, bar, bas. The bar is a positional argument and the other is an optional argument. And What we would also get from a CLI application is more possibilities for structure, relative imports, where we don't have problems when we install packages. So we have free naming. Possibilities for all kinds of testing. We can do unit tests. We can do functional testing, whatever. Behave, I can show you this later, BDD. And yeah, we have dependency management, what we don't have there when we do a packaging. And we have the packaging and distribution, so we can do pip install somewhere. We don't need to copy things somewhere. I mean, one example, well, let's not talk about Django, but yeah, they also do it in a scripty way. And there are people that say, well, you should package it up, your Django application. The CLI applications are much more straightforward. Well, yeah, that's what we can do, pip install with a thing that we have done well. Okay, and there are a few popular proponents, popular packages that here, modules that we can use for writing CLI applications. So ArcPass is from the Python standard library. It looks like that, basically. This you basically create the argument parser here with a description, and then you add arguments and so on, and the line 9 parse arcs basically does the action, then basically it then interacts with you as a user and refuses wrong arguments and so on, for example. Who can spot why I used a parse arguments function here? You don't need to do this. You can simply write it in the main function that then gets called, like we saw before in the script. Why did I do that? Any hands up? Exactly. This is for unit testing, so I can just test the parse arguments. And yeah, great answer. And then we have click. This works a little bit differently, and you see it's much more concise. You have also more capabilities. For example, here you can see this is just a I have this version option still. Yeah, kind of -- version. I get the package version. Then I have an argument, file name, it's a positional argument. And I simply write that out. I could do print, but click echo is better suited. So they suggest it in the documentation. This is still a string argument. So when I add the type here, like path, I can do the same thing. And click just verifies that this is an existing path, for example, file path. Or I can even let click do the entire file reading, and so I get an actual file object. So there are cool capabilities, and the code is very concise. When the click CLI application grows, it gets a little bit messy or so. So there are people that don't like it and prefer other options like ArcPass or DocOpt later. But it's great. It's still great. Yeah. It's cool. And yeah, third popular option is DocOpt. I've only recently discovered it. The idea of this is you have this standardized API in the end user interface, and it's actually based on an IEEE standard. This IEEE standard, POSIX IEEE standard 1003.1. And it mentions these utility conventions, and those are conventions basically that you have, for example, the positional arguments either in capital letters or in these brackets, Spitze Klammern, I don't know how you say this in English, and the optional in square brackets, for example, and the options with dashes or double dashes, and so on. So these are conventions, and DocOpt leverages these conventions and parses your usage, You basically simply write the usage here. If you want to add a new option, you just add a new line here in the docstring. And then the docstring is parsed over there and in line 18, and you're done. And that's basically the same thing. It's very similar to argparse. When it's the parse args here on line 9, it does the same thing as the doc opt on line 18 here, basically. Yeah. Again, I've used this parse arguments. You can again for unit testing, so it's easier to do. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Basically, that's another option. I picked those three popular ones. There are more out there. Pick whatever fits your needs. And yeah, now we actually come to the meat of this presentation, of this talk. So the challenges of writing tests. So how to get started with CLI applications. There is a little bit overhead to get started, but there is a project out there. It's called CLI Test Helpers that has a sample code where you can, I'll show you later, where you can get started in no time, basically. And but there are still challenges that we need to overcome. And one of the main challenges of these CLI frameworks is that basically, well, you can unit test the code that you write, okay? But here, it's not what code is it? You can unit test that code down there, but over there you have configuration up there. You also want to make sure that what you have configured is actually valid, or whether you have some misunderstanding of that API. And yeah, come on. Anyway, you want to test the CLI configuration that you made, whether it's in Qlik or argparse or in docopt. It is still code. It's not Python code, but it's for docopt, it's a configuration. We want to test it out, but this control is a bit taken away from us. Yeah, because we have these annotations with Qlik, and this is code that runs in somewhere else. It's in the modules, in the package, and we don't want to unit test the CLI added the Qlik package, or docopt or argparse, we don't. But we want to test the configuration because that's code that we wrote. There are ways to do this. I'll show you later. And the package, when we do packaging, we also want to verify this. And that requires a deployment. For example, if I with a Qlik application, it's in the documentation of the Qlik package that you should create an entry point. You do this with setup tools or a PyProject Tama, that you create an entry point. When the package is installed, it creates basically a script alias for you. So instead of doing Python foobar.py, you simply can run foobar because it's somewhere in a bin folder or so, local bin, and it's more convenient. And those things you also want to test. So how do we do that? Great, the behavior. Right. If there are any questions, please interrupt me. Good. So what's the strategy that we can try for doing that, for tackling those problems? We cannot do only unit testing, so we need to verify the excellent behavior. And what I suggest, what I found out, what is a viable approach is that you verify the external behavior by simply running the command. And you do this instead of shell. You can replace this by OS system or anything else. The shell is something from the CLI, is an implementation from the CLI test helpers package that is compatible with all Python, all active Python versions, but it simply spawns a shell and runs a command. So and puts the result, so the standard out, standard error, and exit code into an object that is returned. So it's for convenient testing. Okay, so you can do it like that. So basically you do functional testing, and you can do this for all aspects of your CLI. You can do this for the, you want to find out whether the CLI actually aborts when there is no, when there are no options or arguments there. And you simply verify this with an exit code, unequal zero. Great. Then from there, when you have covered the entire CLI, you go down to the unit tests and you simply do this. You can see here is the sparse arguments method here, for example, and or function, and you do it the usual unit test way. The only thing that maybe comes in handy is when you mock or when you pretend to have some or argument values. So here, for example, this is also a helper from the CLI test helper package. The arc v context basically makes sure that basically your CLI application sees some arguments that would be running. Yeah, so it's like pretending you're typing foobar my file minus minus verbose, and then you can run the code inside. And there is a similar helper for environment variables, env context, and those are things. Those are the two ways that you would do. And with that, you can cover your entire test needs. Was that clear enough?
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much, Peter. I'm sorry we ran out of time, but maybe later we can continue if we have time.
Good. So there's no minute left or so?
1 minute.
These are the examples that I would show then, basically explain how to do it. The deployment aspect you would do with Tox. Basically, when you would do with Tox, the CLI package is installed in a virtual environment, so it would be like pip install. You can verify everything like it would be installed with after pip install. And here, just to close the session, I would do, let me just a final thing, git checkout arc parse or something, and it's decodium. I can do everything here. Great. So I have these examples here, for example. You find those examples on GitHub. So if you go on the CLI package, let me just show this to you. GitHub, it's actually there. So Python CLI test helpers in the README, it says there are these examples, and these arc bars, click and dog hop. You can take them. They have the entire setup in there with Tox. With setup Py, you can refactor this to use only Py project toml and setup config, for example. You have even a README and a manifest and tests, everything there. And basically what you can do now is you can go into there, run Tox, and it's really ready for, I have not done anything. I've just copied the example there. And it runs. And the interesting thing here is the coverage is also configured in a way that it tells you what coverage you have and where coverage is missing. These are the lines that are missing when you have, you can feed these numbers to the Kubatura plugin on GitLab, for example, and it will display it nicely. And this way, I would like to close with the task with the talk. And those numbers are important. The coverage, get it to 100%, then you have done the minimum. Okay, the minimum. It doesn't tell if it's at 100%. It doesn't say that your code is bug-free, but at least you're walking all paths through. You don't leave holes in the autobahn. I want an autobahn where I can drive properly. Okay, whether there are bugs because the deers jump on it every 5 minutes and I can drive, that's a different thing. Those may be bugs, but I don't want holes in the autobahn. Thank you.
Thank you.